Good morning. Welcome to New Dawn. My name is J. Donald Walters. I'll be with you this next quarter hour talking about ways to find happiness, peace of mind, and wisdom to cope with the challenges in your life. Soon, I hope you'll be welcoming a new dawn of possibilities in yourself. Remember, whatever you want changed in your life, it begins with you. Today, from my little book of sayings, Do It Now, let me read this saying. Choose your words kindly, and they'll invite understanding. Often, the precept to be kind, to be tactful, to be diplomatic, you see, I'm taking the words and their meaning gradually in this direction of manipulation. Many people think of expressing oneself tactfully to other people or diplomatically or, for that matter, even kindly as a means of winning them to your side and winning them to appreciate you. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you think well of me, then I'll think well of you. But it becomes sort of a mutual admiration society. Whereas what we're really talking about here is something much deeper. It isn't a manipulative thing, that when you choose your words kindly and they'll invite understanding, we're asking for that level of communication that is sincere, that people understand, they don't just sort of flatter. This kind of kindness is also essential, because when people feel flattered, they may not understand too well what your real intention is, but if they understand that you are being kindly to them and that you're not trying in any way to get anything out of them, then they can relax. In relaxation comes understanding. You know, William Shakespeare was such a wonderful playwright for many reasons, certainly. He was brilliant. He had a wonderful command of the language. I know I read a story about a couple of sailors who went to see Hamlet, and one of them afterwards turned in amazement to the other, and he said, "Well, that play was full of platitudes." Well, the joke of it is that they seem like platitudes, but they were invented by Shakespeare. Many of our expressions in the English language come from Shakespeare's plays, like "There's Something Rotten in Denmark," and so on, so many, many. Well, anyway, one of the great things about Shakespeare was that he was a friend of humanity. And even when he had a villain, he somehow made that villain understandable. You take Shylock, and you feel that here is a man who is a villain, but at the same time, at the end, you feel sorry for him. The only villain I can think of that you don't feel sorry for is Iago in Othello. But Shakespeare had this marvelous insight into people that helped him to see it as if he were on their side. And seeing things from their point of view gave him an advantage over anyone who merely tries to analyze. You cannot really understand other people well unless you try to put yourself in their shoes, unless you feel kindly toward them. Understanding of others is rooted in compassion. If it is not, and worse still, if it is rooted in analysis, then you won't be seeing them as they really are. You may be able to pinpoint certain aspects and skewer them with your incisive perceptions. But what you'll really do, without realizing it, what you'll really be doing is holding up a mirror to yourself. Anything that you condemn in another person is one of the surest indications of the kind of person you are. Some woman that I know used to She was an astrologer, and she always used to see people in terms of types. You're this type, he's that type, etc. Well, she herself was a type. And one of the types that she was the type that likes to typify other people, to pigeonhole them. That kind of attitude came in her case, and it has in every other case that I know of. It comes from lack of sympathy with people, lack of interest in people, really. If you think of people as types, you're thinking of them as specimens. It's not much of a jump from the word specimen to seeing something pinned on a board, a wriggling insect or something. You cannot understand life unless you love life. This is one of the great, you might say, defects of modern science, because they try to cut out the heart quality and to look at things only analytically and only with reason. Yes, they're able to get certain secrets of nature. They have done wonderful things with reason. And also, they're perfectly right in claiming that the heart, the feelings of the heart, the sentiments can obscure reason. But that's only when the feelings are distorted, disturbed. When you like this and don't like that, when your feelings are always sort of like waves tossed up and down in prejudice and likes and dislikes, desires and aversions, and so on. But if you can look at life with love, you will be absolutely amazed how the world gives you what you're wanting. You don't have to wrest it from the world with scientific analysis and laboratory dissection and so on. That when you just love life, love the God who produced this great symphony of life, you'll be amazed how things just work for you. And we hear of miracles, and most people scoff at them because they say they've never seen them. I have seen them, and I have been always aware that the people who were able to perform such miracles were the people whose love was perfect. To understand with the intellect is only half understanding, and the minor half at that. To understand with the heart, you don't understand if the heart is so full of its own desires and likes and dislikes, but if the heart is kind and calm, then you penetrate to the core of life's mysteries. And in fact, great scientists have often done that. I've often thought, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, the wonderful example of George Washington Carver, the great scientist who was given by God, I think it was 300 and something different uses for the humble peanut. But he had this devotion to God, this humility before God, and as a result, these secrets unlocked themselves. Great scientists often are not the ones who bludgeon the universe to yield its secrets. They are the ones who attune themselves with it, who appreciate it. Einstein himself said that the secret of scientific, great scientific discovery is a sense of mystical awe before the universe. When you have this heart quality that raises you up, raises your consciousness up in a spirit of awe and wonder, then you can really understand. And so, to come back to our first theme here, which is choosing your words kindly, when you look at people with kindness, when you realize that, well, we're all a very mixed bag, and we have to take the good and realize that nobody's all perfect, maybe a few great saints, but that's not the normal contact we have in life. And let's face it, they're the ones who are most persecuted, usually. But if you can look at people kindly, then you will suddenly find that you understand them. There's a lovely song that expresses this thought. It's by Shakespeare, and it's from the play Two Gentlemen of Verona. It's called Who is Sylvia? Let me sing it to you. ¶¶
Who is Sylvia? What is she that all our swains commend her? Holy, fair, and wise is she. The heaven such grace did lend her, that she might admired be, that she might admired be. Is she kind as she is fair? For beauty lives with kindness. To her eyes love doth repair, to help him of his blindness. And being helped inhabits there, and being helped inhabits there. Then to Sylvia let us sing, that Sylvia is excelling. She excels each mortal thing. Upon the dull earth dwelling, to her let us garlands bring, to her let us garlands bring, to her let us garlands bring, to her let garlands bring.
That was Who is Sylvia? The words were Shakespeare's and the melody was mine. So choose your words kindly, and they'll invite understanding. This from Do It Now. Joy to you, friends.
¶¶